You know, you think, here's the most important person in all of history. And he's already kind of stumped the Sadducees. The Pharisees are kind of checking out to see what's going on. This is what the Bible says. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And all these questions, they're not seeking knowledge from Jesus. They're just trying to trap him. They're trying to prove what they already believe, that he's not the Messiah, that he's not who he says he is. He's not who all his followers say he is. And they just want to trap him. But think about it. You know, our peek into this picture. And here he is, the most important person that has ever lived, Jesus Christ. And he's asked, what is the most important commandment of the law? And our peek into the picture should be this. I want to hear what he says to that. I want to know that. Not in a questioning kind of a way, but I want to know what the most important person in history says that the most important thing is, because that's what Jesus is going to tell them. There's a theory in psychology called the looking glass self theory. And, you know, and for all the psychobabble, I mean, there are some things that make a little bit of sense. And the looking glass self theory is one of those that's almost always true. You always see it. And it says this, that whoever the most important person is in your life, how you think they see you is how you see yourself. And it's really powerful. And you see it played out in a lot of ways where, you know, maybe there was somebody in your life who should have just really loved you and they didn't. And maybe they betrayed you or maybe they abused you or something. But because of their position, they're the most important person in your life. And so you just kind of live your life feeling like that you're really worthless. And one of the reasons I think that it's true and why I think Christians should be the most confident people in the world is because if Jesus is the most important person in your life, it is clear what he thinks about you, right? Now, granted, I understand it's also clear what he thinks about some of the things that we do. But there's a difference in who we are and what we do. Amen. I was kind of weak. You know, it's Wednesday. I know it's our first Wednesday back. But this is really important because we know what Jesus thinks of us. And here is his answer to the question of what is the greatest commandment? Because our ears should perk up. We ought to want to know what is Jesus going to say? What is the most important thing? And he says this. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now think about this. And this is what's hard. If you have any kind of religion in you, and what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes we're more prone to follow the rules than to follow the one who gave us the rules. You know, everybody know what I mean by that? All right, and so if any of that religion is in us, his answer's a little disappointing. Because, you know, all of us might think like what we would have wanted him to say. You know, no doubt when you think about that, somebody here is probably thinking, I wish Jesus had said, here's the most important thing, don't drink alcohol. Now, seriously, I mean, some of you are laughing at that. Some of you are like, gosh, I'm glad he didn't say that. But think about it. Or whatever it might be, whatever, you know, pet sin that we're on a crusade against, because I don't know about you, but I'm never on a crusade against a sin that I'm guilty of, right? It's always somebody else, right? But Jesus, he didn't give out, don't do this and don't do that. It's funny because in this commandment, it's not something that we shouldn't do, but something that we should do. And he says it's the first and greatest commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. If you and I tonight would really believe that, it would answer so many of the questions that we have. You see, Jesus is implying something in this. Because what does the scripture tell us about our ability to love God? We love him because he first loved us. So the only capacity we have to love him is that he has first loved us. It wouldn't have been possible without him. It wouldn't have been possible without his initiation of that love into our lives. And Jesus said, here's the most important thing. And whatever you're thinking the most important thing is, Jesus says, here it is. This is the first and greatest commandment, is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now I want to try to expound on this just a little bit. If you love what you do more than you love Jesus, it'll only be a matter of time before you're miserable doing what you do. See, right when I practiced this in my office, there was a big amen right there. So, no. Really? No. Forget it. Think about this. If you love what you do more than you love him, and I'm not putting any qualification on what it is that you do, right? I mean, we just had some talented singers and musicians here, but I'm going to tell you, if they love what they did more than they love him, misery is what will follow in that at some point. If you love who you're with more than you love him, it's just going to be a matter of time before you're miserable with who you're with, right? And our love for him, you know, it leads us and guides us in all those things. But that has to be the most important thing. Jesus said, here it is. It's almost as if Jesus said, if you're going to mess up everything but get one thing right, here's the thing I want you to get right. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And so here's the struggle for tonight. You see, in order for you to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, you have to be absolutely convinced that he loves you. And that's tough for a lot of people, to believe that he really loves. And it's not that we don't think God loves, but it's that we kind of think, you know, I think God loves most people, but some of us struggle to think that he might really, really love us. And that can come from a lot of things. It could come because maybe in your life there's been this pattern of people who were supposed to love you and didn't, and you have trouble believing it. Or there's been this pattern in your life, if you're just going to do whatever you want, doesn't matter what God says. And after, you know, time, you kind of get to that place where you can't believe that God would love you like he would have if you hadn't done all that. And these are the things that we tell ourselves. Because Jesus is speaking such an incredibly hopeful word. Because when he says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, what he's telling you is that love is already happening on God's end. But this is what he says we should do. To love him, I mean, when he says with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, he's saying love him more than anything. More, because if you love him more than anything, you will do things that you would have never done. You will go places you never would have gone. If you love him more than anything, it totally changes how you look, not just at life, but at your life. And then Jesus throws this caveat on there. Listen to this. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Well, they didn't ask him for a second, did they? They wondered, what's the greatest commandment? But Jesus, in answering what the greatest commandment is, he says, let me tell you the second greatest. And that's this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And this is where, this is the tough part of Christianity, I think. If you're here tonight and you are a believer, man, relationships, they are the most difficult. I mean, how many of you have ever felt like church would be a great place if it wasn't for the people? Anybody ever been in a church like that? I have, right? Because the relationships, they're so complicated. And it's frustrating, right? Because the Bible is clear about how we're to relate to one another, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Next week, we're going to talk about who your neighbor is, all right? So keep those arguments in mind of what you're thinking about who your neighbor is. We'll talk about that next week. And it's interesting that Jesus says it the way he says it. Love your neighbor, how? As yourself. I mean, there's no wiggle room there, is there? It's just pretty cut and dry. This is how Jesus expects you to love people. He expects you to love people and treat people in the same way that you want them to love you and to treat you, right? And so it's always the craziest things, you know, when you have two believers and they're in some kind of argument. And at the root of the argument, typically, okay, I know there are exceptions, but typically at the root of the argument is each party feels like the other wronged them. Isn't that how it goes? Well, they said this about me, and yeah, I said what I said, but I said it after. Anybody? Well, they said stuff about me to all kinds of people, and I just said it to a few people that I could trust, right? And Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do for your neighbor, not as you want your neighbor to do for you, but as you would do for you. Wow. That's tough, isn't it? You ever just totally blow it? I mean, you just messed up. You're in the wrong. You know you're in the wrong. And you just wish that that person you had wronged would just say, you know what? I love you. And we're just going to move on. And we're not going to rehash it. And it's going to be okay. Isn't that what you want them to do? It's what I want them to do. But boy, I sure don't do that. I want them to come crawling back. Anybody else? I want them to get on their knees and just say, I'm so sorry. I was wrong. That's what I want. But my goodness, I'm not going to do that. I just want them to look over where I have fallen short or where I have wronged them. But Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do for your neighbor as you would do for you. Do for your neighbor as you would do for you. I told this story, I'm going to say 5 or 6 years ago. It may have been last week. But, you know, when we first moved here, we had neighbors. And I'm defining neighbor for this story as those who live next to you, right? They're your neighbors. So we had this neighbor. And this neighbor had a dog who was never on a leash. And I don't know how many Sunday nights that neighbor's dog would get in our garbage. And there'd be garbage everywhere. And I was so mad. And I made the mistake one night of saying, I'm going to kill that dog. You know, my kids are like, oh, you can't kill that dog. And I remember one time the dog got all this, there was garbage everywhere. It was thrown out on the front yard. It was awful. It was in my yard. It was in the neighbor's yard. And so I go out to clean it up. And what I decide to do, and I thought about this. I didn't pray about it, but I thought about it. I picked all the garbage up that was in my yard. That there was this line that was so obvious that somebody intentionally left garbage that was just inches over the property line, right? And I felt good about that. I felt like it might help my neighbor understand how difficult it is to go out and pick up garbage. And he's got a walker, so it would have been even harder for him, right? And I walk in the house and I am feeling good about being me. My wife says, good job, preacher man. Some time goes by, I don't remember now how much, but the dog died. And there were 4 mad kids in my house at me. I had to, I promise I didn't kill the dog, and I didn't. All right, I'm telling you, I did not kill the dog. But I can't say that I didn't have a little gratification that the dog was gone. I remember getting home from work, and my wife's making, she makes this pot pie, you guys. Oh, it is to die for. It's incredible. And she's making it, and I can't wait. I'm at the table. I'm like Pavlov's dogs, right? I'm just salivating. I can't wait. I got my green tea, you know, a fork and a spoon, and because I'm going both hands into this thing. And she gets done. She starts wrapping it up. I said, whoa. What are you doing? She said, well, the neighbor's dog died, and I thought I'd take him a pot pie. And I said, no. Love your neighbor as yourself. What would I not do for me? Right? What would I not do for me? Listen, if I want something, I go get it. If I want to watch something, I watch it. If there's some kind of recreation or something that I want to do, I do it. Listen, nobody takes care of me like me. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Do for them as you would do for you. And if we would do that, I'm telling you, there's a peace about life if we would live that way. Now, you know why it's the second greatest commandment? Because if you don't love Jesus more than anything, you're never going to love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, there is an order to these two commandments. And the first has to take place, that we have to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Listen to what Jesus says in closing this out. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You're going to get a lot of things wrong in your life. I've gotten a lot of things wrong in my life. Jesus said, let me tell you these two things. Get them right. Get these two things right. Love him more than anything. More than anything. And tonight, if you know that's not where you're at, if you know that you love something, someone more than him, because somebody inevitably would ask, so what do I do if that's the case? Because if I ask for a show of hands, though maybe nobody would raise their hand, the truth is there's a lot of us here tonight, and I mean, there's not even any thinking about it. We know that we don't love him more than anything. And somebody might say, if that's me, what do I do? And I think a great prayer in our lives is to pray and say, Lord Jesus, teach me how to love you. Show me how to love you more than anything. And to pray that, you know, and somebody might say, so how long do you pray it? You pray it till it's so. Because I promise if you pray with an earnest heart, Lord, teach me to love you, he will teach you. He will show you. And how important is it to love him more than anything and love your neighbor as yourself? How important is that? Jesus said all of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That this is huge. This is important. The most important person in all of history saying, here are the two greatest commandments. We have to listen to that. You, some of you, you've not heard a word since I talked about relationships, that somebody's wronged somebody. And some of you, you just haven't even been listening since then because you're just caught up in that. And I'm going to tell you, I have rarely seen the instance where somebody just went to the other person and said, you know what? I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And I care about our friendship. I care about our marriage. I mean, whatever it is, I am so sorry. And I just want us just to begin to walk from here on out. It's a rare instance that God doesn't just do something powerful and miraculous in that. And I'm going to tell you, when it's two believers, somebody should be doing that. It's a humbling thing, right? And listen, and I know what some of you are thinking, because I'd be thinking it too. What if it's their fault? Well, are you going to make them see the light? Is talking about them going to make them see the light? Is ignoring them going to make them see the light? No, only Jesus is going to make them see the light. You know how I've seen Jesus do that a lot? When the other party comes and says, you know what? I am so sorry that our relationship isn't everything that it should be. And I'm sorry for that. Because I just want this to be a friendship, a marriage, whatever it is that glorifies God. And a lot of times that's how God begins to shed the light on the other person, right? But somebody should do that. Listen, if you are a believer, you're one of the most blessed people on the planet. Think about what has been done for you and how Jesus has loved you and demonstrated his love for you. I mean, how long can we just go on being angry? How important is this? All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. To love Jesus more than anything and to love your neighbor as yourself. The theme for this year is show it, right? Last year it was tell it. That doesn't mean we're not telling it this year. Just means added to that is this whole idea of along with telling it, people should see some kind of difference in our lives, right? Anybody remember Guess jeans like from the 80s? They didn't make them in my size. I never could wear them. But, you know, they had the little logo. And so this Christian t-shirt company put the Guess symbol on a t-shirt. And the t-shirt said, guess who loves you? Jesus. And this buddy of mine told me that he was wearing his one day at his workplace. And he said somebody came up to him and said, wow, I love the sweatshirt. And then they said to him, because I'd have never known that if you hadn't had it on. It's kind of like this idea that we shouldn't need Christian t-shirts. We shouldn't need Christian bumper stickers. People ought to see the difference in how we live our lives. And how we love the Lord. And in how we relate to others. People should just see that difference. It should be there. And that's why this is so important. And so this year, as we tell it, we should be showing it as well. They should see the difference that Jesus has made in each of our lives. We're going to have a time of altar tonight. And I want to invite you to come. And I know tonight has just kind of been a straightforward that we've got to love Jesus more than anything else. And I think if a lot of us were honest, there's just so many other things that we love more. And so at the beginning of the year, not a New Year's resolution, but at the beginning of the year to say, Lord, for this year, I want it to be different than last year. And I want people to see your work in my life. And so, Lord, teach me how to love you. Teach me how to love you more than anything else, more than what I do, more than anything else that would be important in my life. And there are other things that should be important, but he should be supreme. First and foremost. And maybe tonight the altar is just kind of, Lord, teach me how to love you. Teach me how to love you more than all these other things. You know, and I would pray tonight on that second commandment that some of us, man, there just needs to be a humbling that takes place in our lives. And let me tell you what I've learned the hard way about the Lord. He'll always give me a chance to humble myself. He'll always give me a chance to humble myself. And if I don't, then he will humble me. And for some of us tonight, in some of our relationships, we better humble ourselves. We better do that. We better do for and treat our neighbor as we would do for ourselves. And maybe part of the altar tonight is just coming and bringing some broken relationships to the altar. and saying, Lord, I want people to see it. I want to show it. But you can only show what you have, right? And to come to the altar and say, Lord, teach me to love you. Lord, humble me. That I would love my neighbor as myself. That I would love that person I work with as myself. That I would love my spouse as I love myself. But this is powerful. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That you would love him more than anything. And to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for who you are. And so, Lord, some of us tonight, we just struggle because there's so many things that we love more than you. Lord, I pray you'd break our hearts for the things that break your heart. That we would follow after you and be more concerned with you than any other thing. And Lord, in our relationships, all over this room, are represented broken relationships. And Lord, I pray that we would be willing to be the healing salve in those relationships. That Lord, we would humble ourselves and we'd be the sons and the daughters that you have called us to be. That you would be the most important person in our lives because we know that you love us and we know that you have a plan for us. So teach us to trust you. Teach us to love you. Let's stand together, church. This altar is open. I want to invite you to come. You come.